Sky Baptist Church, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here. Again, it's an honor to be with you remotely, but still an honor praying. Just praying that God stays the plague, but until that happens, we'll be here remotely. It's an honor again to be here to preach to you. So let me pray us in as we this morning. Dear Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you for being so kind to us. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we can do this remotely, that we can still encourage our people and still bring your word to the masses, Lord. Your word will not come back void, and we're so thankful, Lord, for the production crew this morning. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are a kind God, a God who makes a way. When there seems to be no way, you make a way. So we're so grateful and honored, Lord, that we can, again, bring your word remotely. But still it is your word, and your word will not come back void. So I pray for us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would use this lowly preacher, Father, to just bring your word. And our prayer, Lord, is that souls get saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before I get started, welcome. We are doing a short sermon series on the second coming of Christ, and this is our last section here. Next week, I'll be starting the book of Nahum. That'll be next, and so pray for me as I go through that. Just a couple of housekeeping things, if I may. Let me just tell you some of the commentaries I'm using. Craig Bartholomew, the Baker Commentary on the Old Testament, I use that in studying the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll be going to that this morning. Also, Trempa Longman from the New International Commentary on the Old Testament, again, with Ecclesiastes. Morna J. Hooker from the Black's New Testament Commentary in the Gospel of Mark. A couple of one prayer request and one housekeeping. Harlan's mom went to be with the Lord yesterday, so we are prayerful for Harlan and his family, obviously, but we're thankful. I mean, Harlan was praying that the Lord would take his mom peaceably, and we believe that happened. Another prayer request is for Glinda's niece, Kaylee. She's an ER nurse in Farmington, New Mexico, and she's on the front lines dealing with COVID-19. In fact, one of her co-workers, they said, had tested positive. So what I want to do is we are going to open up in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want to pray for wisdom as we navigate through this text. You know, the sons of Issachar, they are known in the Old Testament for the people of wisdom, and they actually use their wisdom to help David in his excursions as he moved forward in the things of God, especially when he was on the run from Saul, so the sons of Issachar. So I want to talk about wisdom a little bit. I want to go to the book of Ecclesiastes as we continue in our second study on the second coming of Christ. And so I want to go to the book of Ecclesiastes, just a couple of verses, if I may, and we'll kind of deal with this, and then we'll kind of line it up with our New Testament text in the Gospel of Mark. We want to continue with the 13th chapter of Mark, and we'll also end up today in the book of Revelation. So let's go to Ecclesiastes with no further ado. 9th division of Ecclesiastes, 11th verse says this, 11 and 12. I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to discerning, nor favor to men of ability, for time and chance overtake them all. Moreover, a man does not know his time, like fish caught in a treacherous net and birds trapped in a snare, so the sons of men are ensnared at an evil time when it suddenly falls on them. Bartholomew rightly states in verse 11 and 12, Taylor, it doesn't matter how fast you run, doesn't matter how strong you are, doesn't matter how much wisdom you have, or the amount of money you have, or even how smart you are, Time and chance can happen to any of us. In other words, death is no respecter of persons. You can be on top of the heap, you can be on the bottom of the barrel, but death is no respecter of persons. It can happen any time. And if you're hearing this message today, please know that. Time and chance can happen to anybody. And your knowledge, you know, people are so smart. Gene, what about if dementia sets in? Again, the teacher here, or scholars call this, the teacher's name, Kohelet. Kohelet here is a deep thinker. He's a realistic one. On the other hand, just like Kohelet is laying out for us, listen to this, I want us to hear this. We must discern the times. We must understand the situation that we live in this time. Well, think about, let's just say, with the coronavirus. Nothing has changed because time and chance could happen to anyone at any time, right? And we have seen this virus affect all ages. This disease has affected all ages. We know the data. Now, it seems to affect older people with underlying conditions, but no one is exempt. We know that. And we talk about time and chance. We talk about, you know, we're always looking for the next cure or how long can we live. But at the end of the day, Jesus himself, in speaking to a concerned crowd about how Pilate had slew some men for offering temple sacrifices, they wanted to know if these men were worse sinners than anybody else. And Jesus emphatically said no, and in turn pointed them to an accident. Remember, he says, you know, remember them 18 men whom the Tower of Siloam fell? He said, listen, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, in the wake of all this stuff that's going on in the coronavirus, just think about it. We're locked down. We're not able to meet. We know that. But is it a time of reflection? That's the question, because just like an accident, Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So we're using this time for a reflection period, for a time out, so to speak. Now look at this text we were just thinking about. Longman depicts in verse 12, no one knows when they're going to die, Taylor, right? It says, you know, fish swim merrily along, birds fly effortlessly through the air, and then in a moment they're in a struggle, in a trap, and it leads to death. See, death is the common denominator, and no one knows the appointed time that God has ordained in any situation. That's why Jesus emphatically again says, repent or you will die in your sins, whether it's an accidental death, death by disease, death by hanging, whatever. See, we have to have a biblical mindset to understand the times. And, you know, we are, yes, we're in a timeout, we're in a lockdown, whatever you want to call it. But again and again and again, time and chance could happen to anybody, Ashley, at any time. My question is, my answer and my question is to all of us is, the Bible says to repent and believe the gospel or you will likewise perish. Now, last week in Mark 13, there were many warnings given to us. Warnings for us to consider our ways, challenging our readiness in a sin-soaked world that's so unpredictable. We learned the historical data of the temple and argued that the true temple is who? Jesus Christ, who is the true and living sacrifice to God for his people. Now, we will continue this theme by two important parables this morning concerning, here's our thing, are you ready and are you watching? That's the question. Miss Ashley, are you ready and are you watching? And hopefully these parables will challenge our status quo. Now, I want to ask Miss Ashley to go to Mark 13, but I want to be helpful of how you can understand this whole chapter of Mark. Now, scholars believe Mark writes in this Markian sandwich. Now, you know I'm Italian, I love food, but this is basically a sandwich text. And you're saying, well, What is he talking about now? What does it mean? Okay, so just think about last week. The first 23 verses of Mark 13:1-23 is the outside of the bread. And that talked about, remember, the destruction of the temple. Remember last week we spoke about the destruction of the temple, right? That's the outside of the bread. Now the meat of the sandwich, the meat of the sandwich is the second coming of Christ. Remember we discussed that last week in 24 through 27. That was the meat. Now we're going to read that again. And then in 28 through 37, which I'm going to break up in two parts, is the other side of the sandwich. And that other side of the sandwich is, are you ready? So the one side of the sandwich was the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. The meat of the sandwich, Miss Ashley, is Christ is going to return. The other part of the sandwich is, are you ready? Are you watching? That's how the writer here, which scholars believe could be Peter, and Mark has just taken down Peter's account, but the scholars believe he writes in a sandwich form. He writes in a sandwich form. So let me come down here. I'm going to start in the 13th division on the 24th verse. So we're going to get right into the meat of the sandwich, right? And then we're going to go to the other part of the sandwich, the other part of the bread. So let's start in the 24th verse, the 13th division. This is the hinge that swings the fence. The second coming of Christ. Yes, we are dealing with this virus. We're dealing with a lot of things in the world. Sickness. But the end of the day, this is the meat. Because here's the thing. We know time and chance could happen to anybody. But we also know that the second coming is imminent. And no one knows the time. And no one knows the hour. So let's see here. Starting in the 24th verse. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth the angels and would gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven. That's the sandwich. That's the meat, the second coming. Now, a couple of more verses here. Now, learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognizing he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, I want now get this. When we think about time and chance, coupled with the second coming of Christ, we must put in its proper perspective, especially considering these parables. Now, the parable of the fig tree, look what it says. It says, when its branches already become tender, right, and puts forth, you know that summer. So listen, so recognition. The parable challenges you, do you recognize the times? Do you understand the times? The prophet Micah spoke about the fig tree being a sign of peace and prosperity. We must recognize the times, knowing that the return of Christ is imminent. Knowing that the return of Christ is imminent. We do not want to be caught short like the foolish virgins. Remember the meat in the sandwich. That's what this is about, the second coming. A foretaste of destruction was 70 AD, the temple. But now you see the meat is the second coming. And here's the question. Are you ready? Am I ready? He can imminently come back at any time. And that's the question that we have to look at. And the coronavirus don't exempt us. Remember, time and chance. We must always be on the alert, watchful, ready, keeping our lamps burning brightly. That's my question. I plead to me first. Are we ready? Are we ready? Listen, we have a lot of time on our hands. I mean, God has given us a time out. You know, you got the scientists and they're beefing with the politicians. Here's the question. Are you ready? How are you using this time? That's the question. This is the thing. It can be imminent that Christ can return. And then in time of that, time and chance could happen to anybody. Right? Maybe you get the virus. I don't want no one to get the virus. Maybe you can get a flu. Who knows? The question is, Ashley, to me first, are we ready? And that's the challenge in this text. Are we ready? Because we don't know. Look at the fig tree. Look at the fig tree. This is a reversal of fortune in the fact that Jesus had cursed the fig tree in Mark 11. But here it's budding, bursting with promise, bursting with hope. Now, this is a highly theological parable. Let us look at this intently. Now get this. Both Wenham and Hooker were helpful in being good readers of the text. Now, watch this. There's a dividing line in this parable. There's a dividing line. Look at verse 30. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. What is he talking about? What is the Lord speaking about? What generation shall not take place? 70 A.D. Jesus' followers would be around in 70 A.D. So that when the temple came down, that's what he's speaking about right there. Now get this. Now get this. Now watch this. Watch the switch or watch the dividing line in the parable. Watch the dividing line. Here it says, here's the dividing line in the parable. Verse 29, him being right at the door, talks about something that is forthcoming, something that alerts us. Be watchful, considering his second coming in 24 through 27. It's prophetic, but it can happen at any time. So here's the split. The generation that was following Jesus, they were there for 70 AD. We know that. But then this speaks to us. Are you alert? It's right at the door. The imminence of Christ coming back. You see the dividing line there? You see how we have to be good readers of the text, right? So we must also consider time and chance, because in a sin-soaked world, many things can happen, even accidents, as we discussed, or diseases. You see, our mindset, our focus, Gene, has to be different. We have to think theologically about the imminent return of Christ at any time. And then we have to think theologically that anything can happen to us at any time. The question is, are you ready? Jesus said, unless all repent, you will likewise perish. You will likewise perish. Because everything is going to pass away, verse 31, except the words of Christ. Now look what it says, heaven and earth. What does it mean when it says heaven and earth will pass away? That's an interesting verse, but it's a merismus. It's a merismus. What do I mean by a merismus? Basically, all things will pass. All ideologies, all man-made philosophies. Listen, Gene, even your 401k, it's going to pass. All ideologies, all world mindsets, the 401ks, everything's going to pass except Christ's words. My question is, what are you putting your trust in? And this is, I really believe, a timeout for all of us. And I've mentioned this over the last few weeks. What are we putting our trust in? What are we contemplating on? Because if God allows the world to go back to normal, that's on him, we're going to forget about this all, Ashley. You know, Miss Ashley, the world and it's back. And the thing is, we must redeem the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. And here, the Lord has got us, like we mentioned, in a timeout. But remember the meat in that sandwich. His return is imminent. Are you ready? Am I ready? This is a challenge for most people because we want to put so much credence in the world. We have too much stock in this world, too much security. But you know what, Gene? It's all fool's gold. It's really sinking sand. And then with time and chance or the second coming, there's a lot at stake, a lot to contemplate, and this is a good time. I've mentioned this a couple of times, and I just mentioned it. I want to mention it again. It's worth it. Maybe this is a wake-up call for us. Taylor, maybe this is a wake-up call for us. Maybe this is a time where we need to really concentrate how imminent the return of Christ is. How imminent the return of Christ is. This is what we're thinking about. This is what we're talking about this morning. Now, remember the parable of the Gene, remember he says, hey, I got all this money. I'm going to put it in the barns and I got these cars and houses. And the Bible says, soul, now I can rest. And the Bible says, what about if your soul is required of you tonight? That's my question. Me first, suppose your soul is required of you tonight. It's a serious question. Let us continue in the Gospel of Mark with the other part of the sandwich. Now, I want to come down here. I'm going to start at verse 32. And I want you to be good listeners of the text. You know, one of the problems we have is we don't put scripture in context. And that's caused a lot of serious issues over the days of understanding scripture in context. So let's just quickly go over. We started in Ecclesiastes. The reason we started in Ecclesiastes, Ashley, is because time and chance could happen to anybody. Used as an example, fish can be, you know, going upstream and a net comes and they're snatched just like that. And then we looked at Mark 13. We looked at one side of the sandwich, the wonderful temple and the wonderful stones that the apostles were bragging about last week. The Lord says, listen, these stones are going to get turned over 70 AD. And then we got that meat in the sandwich talks about the second coming. That second coming is imminent. Could happen at any time. And then the other part of the sandwich is you have to be ready. You got to be watchful. And we're going to finish that part now. So we're kind of lining this up. Time and chance, imminence of the second coming. Now watch what Jesus says, starting at verse 32. But on that day or hour, no one knows. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed. Take heed. Keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. Example, it's like a man away on a journey who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning each one to his task, right? Also commanding the doorkeeper to stay alert. Therefore, here it is again, be on the alert. For you don't know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning. So in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep, what do I say to you all? Be on the watch, Gene, alert. This is the whole thing. Now listen, I want to straighten something out. I want to teach you how to be good readers of the text. Look at verse 32. But on that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Now, When people say, well, what do you mean the Son don't know? Isn't the Son God? Of course the Son's God. So I wanted the focus on verse 32 is not Christology. We already know this is the Son of God, but people just look at this. It's not Christology, it's eschatology. Unlike the thoroughly predictable end of the temple we spoke about, those who were contemporary with Jesus, this situation calls, therefore, not for calculations of dates or careful observation of signs, but for constant readiness, because time and chance can happen to anyone. Not only death, but the second coming. The question is, are you ready? See, this is not talking about the deity of Christ. We already know he's the Son of God, God of very God. This is talking about eschatological, when he comes back. Are you ready? You remember when, and you can put it up if you want, Ashley, you don't have to, but I remember in Mark 10 and 40, when the sons of thunder's mom turned around and said, Lord, can you, have my children sit at one on your left hand, one on your right hand? And Jesus basically said, no, you're looking at things wrong. This is a time of persecution. Don't look at this text and say, well, you know, the Son don't know. The Son, believe me, this text is about, are you ready? That's the question. Are you ready? And maybe just for this time out here in this coronavirus, the question is to me first, are you ready? Are you ready? And this is the, this. So here, look at the sandwich. Look what happened in 70 AD. That was a precursor. Look at all the stuff leading to today. How the things of God have been trampled underfoot. And then the backdrop, the imminency of the second coming, and then the other side of the sandwich, again, are you ready? Are you watchful? What are you using this time for, that God has got us in a time out? Are we just fiddling around all day? Are we just sitting around and watching television and things like that? Don't charge me. I'm the farthest thing from a legalist. The question is, and I beg you, are you ready? That's the question. And man, there's only four of us in here, but I speak to you four specifically right now, and me, and I speak to the larger context watching us all over. Listen, I want to challenge you guys. I will say it, Taylor and Chief and Gene and Ashley and Dominic, are we ready? Because you never know. Whether it's coronavirus, whether it's a second coming, whether it's a cold and that you get a flu, and I don't want to be morbid. Yes, you can die. The question is, are you ready? What a picture, Ashley. What a challenge. 70 AD, look how beautiful these temple is. Look how beautiful. The Lord says, okay, watch what happens in 70 AD. And then the imminence of the second coming, the meat of the sandwich, and then the other side of the sandwich is, you don't know the hour, you don't know the day, you don't know the minute. The question is, again, redundantly, are you ready? This is a serious, serious way to look at things, because this is the way Jesus is laying it out. In fact, verse 32, we have the day of the Lord. But listen to the prophecy. No one knows, like fish swimming in the water, and then boom, it's over. That's why we got to be alert. We don't know the time will come when Christ confronts the world. Earlier, Jesus instructed his disciples there were certain signs given, but it was not the end. But here there are no signs given. But the parable depicts the appointed time will come, and that is why, as Hooker depicts, we must be vigilant, because the timing of Christ's second coming is unpredictable. As Holgren depicts verse 34, This should be our focus. We must live considering this that could happen at any time. But you know what? Should we be surprised? We're being told beforehand. I mean, think about this. And obviously, if you're not a Christian, this stuff doesn't mean nothing to you. And I pray that maybe you're listening, maybe you got nothing to do, and maybe your cable went out or something like that, and we'll send Chief over there to fix the fiber optics later. But maybe your cable went out, and you got nothing to do, and you just put on your computer, and here I am. Here I am, some crazy person, right? Praise the Lord, proclaiming the Word of God. Proclaiming the Word of God. And the thing is, as Christians, we know that he's going to return. The problem is, Gene, you don't know when he's going to return. I don't know when he's going to return. But if you're not a Christian, they're going to be caught unawares. The problem is, no, far be it from us as Christians, we are not being watchful. We don't want to be caught like a fish in an empty net that comes and swoop us along. You know, I always think about this. Don't charge me on this, and I just think about this. What are we going to be doing? What am I going to be doing when the Lord returns? You ever think about that? What are you going to be doing? I'm not saying fixing your car. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with fixing your car. Got to fix your car, right, Gene, if it breaks. But think about our life and think about how much time do we spend. Let me say this right. How much time we should be spending with the Lord and how much time that we spend on self. You know, Taylor, we spoke about this. Children could be idols. You love seeds, right? To death, right? I know that. But CJ can be an idol, man. Right? You, Ashley, you love your mother, right? To death. Our family can become idols. That's hard stuff. Our family can become idols. The question is, what are we going to be doing when Christ returns? And please don't hear me. We have to take care of our son. We have to love our mother. And Rachel's got to take care of me because I got to eat. I got to eat. But at the end of the day, where's your mindset on? You can be taking care of your son. You can be taking care of your mom. Rachel can be cooking for me. But your mind can still be on the things of God. And that's the question, because remember, what's in the meat of the sandwich is the second coming of Christ. Then you got this, all this other stuff happening. Just one other thing is coronavirus. But these things have been happening from the beginning of time. They've been happening from the beginning of time. And this is a wake-up call for us. It's a wake-up call. The timing of Christ's second coming is unpredictable. It can happen again at any time, but it should not, for us, it should not be a surprise. Now, we're concerned with our loved ones. We're concerned with the many people that have passed during this pandemic. But we have seen many unforeseeable tragedies in life when they happen, and it's tragic. We don't want to be mindless. Our focus should be keeping alert, watching, waiting vigilantly for the return of our Savior. Because listen, man, you know what I think about? Listen. You know the parable of the 10 virgins, right? Everyone thought they were ready. The 10 virgins all thought they were ready. And when the master came, the 5 foolish virgins went to light their lamp, and the Bible says they were out of oil. But the scary part, I shouldn't say the word scary, the challenging part, is that better, Taylor? The challenging part about that parable is they thought they were ready. That's the question. Just because you come to church don't mean you're ready. Just because you're behind a camera don't mean you're ready. Just because you're behind a computer don't mean you're ready. And you're not exempt either, Gene. Just because you're behind the soundboard don't think you're ready. Are you ready? Me first, preaching the gospel. That's the question. See, the 5 foolish virgins thought they were ready. And then, Gene, they went to light the lamp, and it was too late. That's why this is an alert. This is an alert, Ashley. What's the meat of the sandwich? Listen, nobody loves bread better than Italians. So I don't mind the outside of the bread, but I love when something good's in the middle. And what's in the middle is the second coming of Christ over against the backdrop of 70 AD. And then the question is, are you ready when he returns? What a picture. What a picture. And I believe by God's grace that we're in this time out. We need to focus on this. Now watch this. You and I said this before. That's why you love the sons of Issachar. They understood the times. If there's anything, listen, here's what I want to do. If I've done anything, I want you, man, I love these four guys. I mean, these guys put up with me every Sunday. They come in here, they labor. But the problem is, listen, I want us to be good discerners of the times. I want us to be called the sons of Issachar, who knew the times. They understood the times. Listen, do we really understand the times? Pink Floyd. Gene, you're a big Pink Floyd guy, right? Frit and waste the hours in an offhand way. Time. Before you know it, Taylor, you'll be 65. I don't say that facetiously. We know how fast time goes. We know how fast. Like the hours in an hourglass, it goes fast. Miss Ashley, you're not going to be 22 forever. And Chief, you're not going to be, I don't know, 50 forever. I'm going to go lowball on Chief. I don't want no trouble. Look at verse 34. Hooker depicts rightly. There's two assignments. Look at the two assignments. Look at the two assignments that are given. The slaves oversee the estate. This is the parable. And then they appoint a doorkeeper to watch. This is a full orb picture, meaning that as we partake in our God-given assignments, are we watching? You see, the parable is—it's amazing. There's two kind of works that are given. One is a doorkeeper, and one oversees the estate. But while we're doing this thing in the things of God, are we being watchful? You know, when I think about, I'm not talking about, let me say it this way. I like the word watchful, but I got a better word. Are we being mindful? Are we being mindful? Because you don't, I mean, I'm not saying you're watching for the second coming. That's not my thing. Are you being mindful? As you hold your child, as you take care of your family, Gene, are you mindful that he can return at any time? Do we think, listen, I'm going to challenge me. If I wish I can turn the camera and I can preach to myself. I know I'm turning around, but I'm not saying that. Are we being mindful? Do we ever, I mean, is there any time in the day that we are we in the time of the day, are we thinking that he can return at any time? Do we think of that? Right, Tim? I mean, listen, I'm not picking on Taylor. She's right in front of me. Everybody else is a little farther back. But Taylor says, no, that's the same thing. We don't think enough about this, right? I mean, come on, guys. You know, we're driving in the car and, you know, we're going to the supermarket and stuff. Are we thinking that he can return at any time? This is what Mark is challenging us with. This is the challenge to me first. And look at the two. Look at the way they set it up. One person is assigned to oversee the estate. And then the doorkeeper watches. Now, Hooker is insightful in verse 35. Now, listen, see, in those days, there was not many journeys at night. Traveling at night was dangerous. But look at the possibilities, three possibilities, that he may return at night. What the parable is trying to tell you, see, in those days, you didn't travel at night. Why you didn't travel at night? First of all, there was no cars. What else? Why didn't you walk around at night? There was no lights. You remember that one parable, the guy knocks on the door at midnight And nobody go. I mean, it's not like, this is my whole family sleeping. I got the cows here. I got the children. What are you doing at night? He's, man, I need some bread. But nobody traveled at night. So that's a big picture in the parable that he can return at night. You know what that means? Unexpectedly. We don't know. Nobody traveled at night in those days. What they're saying here, it can happen at any time. And I don't think we think about that enough. Again, me first. Me first. That's why we have to contemplate on these things while we have the time. This is a good time to have a God-given perspective. Look how fragile this world is. Hey, Miss Ashley, look how fragile this world is. We've seen the virus wreak havoc over the world this past 6 weeks that none of us could imagine. But all of this, Miss Mary, Rachel, Sonny, Donna, Devin, all of this pales in comparison to the meat of the sandwich of the second coming of Christ. All of it. All of it. Because, man, if you get any virus, if you get any cold, if cancer, but if you're a Christian, it don't matter. What does it matter? You're going to live forever. Are we mindful enough of this? That's the question. That's the question. And you know what, Chief? If we're not, Papa's going to remind us, isn't he? That's for sure. Look how fragile the world is. That's my question. Okay. I want to, remember I said this was a two-part series, and this will be the last part. I want to go to the book of Revelation for a second. Just kind of want to sum this up, if I may. You know, we're good on time. You know, this is the second part, but I know I've said this throughout this sermon. And you know something, here's the thing with sermons and even myself. You read your Bible and you know the Spirit kind of nudges you. You listen to a sermon, right, and you get kind of convicted and you say, and then all of a sudden you'll walk out the door and it's over. So here's my prayer. Here's my prayer for my four fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that we keep getting nudged and challenged by the Spirit of God from this point forward. And everybody else listening, whether it's Mary, the two Kathys, and Glinda, and no matter who's listening, that the Spirit of God continues to nudge us, that the Spirit of God continues to convict us, to challenge us in the mundane things of this world. Whether it's giving our son a bath or going to the store for our mother or whatever it is, that the Spirit of God will continue to convict us, that he can be back at any time. And hopefully that we can use this time out. Now, let's go to the first chapter of the book of Revelation. You know, this is an interesting, I was looking at this, I didn't have time to look at it, but I know there might be a couple of direct quotes right from the Lord, and obviously it's all written by the Spirit, and it's all the Spirit's words, but there's a stark verse, the last verse I'm going to read in verse 8, it's actually words that the Lord is actually speaking in first person, but I want to start at verse 4. John the Revelator, obviously speaking to the seven churches, starting in verse 4. I don't see it up here. That's okay. I know Chief's got something rigged up, something. But anyway, let me start at verse 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and what is to come. I love that. And from the seven spirits who were before his throne. And from Christ Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom. He has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here it is. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it be. Amen. Look at the words here. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and is to come, the Almighty. What a picture. This is what we've been talking about. Now, let me just give you a little background quickly, and then I'm going to get right into what I mean. We're going to line everything up here. Here, John, according to Smalley, addresses a living community incorporated in the seven churches which are in Asia Minor. This is John's jurisdiction. In fact, these parables point to this future reality in Christ. John is writing and granting grace and peace to his hearers by way of blessing, verse 4. And he's writing in the full orb Spirit of God, depicted as the seven spirits before the throne of God the Father and Jesus Christ, verse 5. So here we have the triune God, just some background, depicted by Father, Son, and Spirit. And then Christ depicted as what? The faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, ruler of this earth. He rules the earth. All else pales in comparison to this God and King who set us free from our sins. Listen, man, if you are a Christian, you got to get this. You've been set free from your sins. Do you understand? Your default position is hell. You are a hell-bound sinner. And it only if Christ sets you free shall you be free indeed. And then it says he's coming with the clouds, the one who was, who is, and yet to come. Look at this power here as we line it up. We must be watchful. We must be ready because we are appointed to be his servants. And like the servants in the parable, they await their king. Are you waiting? Are we waiting our King? That is the question, especially during this time of contemplation. Are we awaiting our King with expectation, knowing, Gene, he's right at the door? Now watch this. Now you got to get this. See, we've had a lot of press briefings, haven't we, Gene? I mean, they're on every day. We see our government every day. But I want you to be good readers of the book of Revelation. I'm going to tell you why. Listen to this. What makes the book of Revelation so fascinating is that the Roman government, under all its Caesars, are really illusionary. What I love about the book of Revelation, it takes you beyond the throne of Caesar and shows you who's really sitting on the throne. That's what I love about the book of Revelation. Because, you know, in those days, the Caesars thought they were all that in a bag of chips. But you know what? The book of Revelation takes you beyond that earthly throne and shows you who's really in charge. That's what I love about the book of Revelation. Because you think that the Caesars are all in charge, but no, it's God. Now, yes, of course, they were the power, but not really. This is a glimpse behind Caesar's throne. As Smalley depicts, John switches from, now listen, present possibilities to future realities. We're in this lockdown. We're in this lockdown. We must glance behind the so-called worldly thrones of power and look to Christ, who is what? The Alpha and the Omega, who is and was and is to come. He's in complete control. We here at Desert Sky must cognitively switch, Gene. We got to switch from the present possibilities of this virus to the future reality of Christ as true King, not being blind to it. This is the meat of the sandwich. This is it. This is what Mark was speaking about. Remember, heaven and earth will pass away. All illusionary leaders are just what they are, temporal, replaceable. But Christ is the all-powerful God, the Almighty. His words will never pass away. Look at verse 7. All who oppose Christ and his church will lament. You know what I want to do? You know what I did? I want to give you a peek. I want to give you a peek. I want to give you a peek behind our earthly government thrones. Yes, they're put in place by God. I've said that. And we must pray for them. But they are not God. So we as Christians must look to him, because he is the what? The Alpha and the Omega, the first and last. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, man. That's why we live in the already and not yet. He's already came. We know that. But we're in that time that we're waiting for the not yet. But according to what we read, Miss Taylor, Mr. Gene, Mr. Chief, Miss Ashley, the not yet can happen at any time. Are you ready? Am I ready? My worry, my concern as a pastor, sometimes I'm closing with this because I'm running out of time. But I'm closing with this, but I need to say this. I was sitting in my living room last night thinking about the congregation and saying, Lord, please hold on to every one of them. Please don't let them drift. Please don't let this world just suck them up. Please. As a pastor, I mean, I miss my church family. And I know how this world will just take you out of this stuff. We know this. We've been around too long. We've been around too long. People say, well, this is a challenge. This is a challenge. Are you getting up in the morning? Are you reading your word? Are you praying? Are you praying with your husband? Are you praying with your mom or your dad or whatever? Are you having family devotion times? And you know, I remember, and I know I said I'm closing, but I want to say this. You know, I speak to, you know, our life group. Remember our life group, Taylor and Ashley? You know, these people, you know, our younger group, they work all day. They don't have time to read. So we'd have a group once every 2 weeks, and we kind of spend 2-3 hours. We eat together, and we get into things of God. And then I would turn around and say, well, you know, what about the retired people? You know, they should be reading. But they don't read either. They say, you know, I wake up, I want to read, and before you know it, it's night. So the enemy is at work in every age group. See, there's no different. My question is, I want you to think about the meat in the sandwich. He can return at any time. Are you ready? Am I ready? In Jesus' name, dear Lord, Father, I pray by God the Holy Spirit that we will look at this short sermon series on the second coming in the backdrop of coronavirus and all these other things that are happening in the world. I pray by the grace of the living God, the holy God, that we would leave with a firm conviction, not just the conviction, hey, I heard the preacher say this today and I feel convicted. No, with a firm conviction of the Spirit. Whether you're home listening or watching or taping, and I don't know what they do, whether you're behind the camera here, whether you're behind the computer, the sound system, the other computer, let us have, and the preacher, let us have a firm conviction. Because Jesus Christ, the solid rock we stand, all else is sinking sand. Please hear me. If you're not a Christian, repent and believe the gospel. If you are a Christian and you're just swaying all over, get back in your lane, man. Get back in your lane, because we never know. In Jesus' name, amen.